Chapter 6. While senators argue in her office, Chancellor Mon Mothma tries very hard to make a fist with her left hand. The hand rests on her knee under her desk, and she focuses on the act of pulling her fingers into the center of her palm. She can't do it. Not yet. Not quite. The fist she makes is less a fist and more a soft claw. Simply closing that hand feels like she's trying to move mountains, requiring an epic effort that she dearly hopes is not being shown on her face.
Are you listening?
She doesn't even know who asked the question. Oops, she thinks. Looking up, she sees it's Senator Ashmin Ek from the Anthan Spire. His lips are twisted up in a sour knot. His silver hair is in a sharp, ostentatious peak above his head. Ek does not like being ignored. He says as much.
Chancellor, I get the feeling you're not entirely with us here today. You may see yourself as special, but I have taken precious time out of my schedule and put many meetings on hold for this committee.
Some of the other senators gathered nod along with him. Bouchard, Lauren, and Rethalo. Next to them stands Jebel of Euter, Minister of Finance for the New Republic. He does not nod, but he strokes his beard and hmms and ahs, continuing to serve as the pinnacle of ineffective neutrality. Nawr Jebel is always at his most comfortable when he is firmly in the middle, never extending himself, not even by a toe or a finger, toward one side or the other. Others look embarrassed by Ek's outburst. Senator Okopo and Councillor Sandeev Sella in particular look on with disbelief.
I apologize, Mon says humbly. I'm feeling a little distracted today.
And why ever would that be? She asks herself.
Could it be because this is the last week that the Senate will meet on Chandrila? Perhaps because of the rise of the new separatist union, or the confederacy of corporate systems, or the pirates and their so-called sovereign latitudes? Maybe that horrid Senator Wartol has gotten under my skin. Or maybe, just maybe, it's because my left arm and the hand at the end of it barely operate as they should, thanks to the Empire's attack on Liberation Day. I fear it is best to end this meeting early and push it on to next month, once the Senate and my office have been moved to Nakadia. Will that do?
It will not, exceeds. The Committee for Imperial Reallocation is vital for distributing the resources of the Fallen Empire.
It hasn't fallen yet,
objects the broad-shouldered Sandeev Sella. He puffs out his chest as he talks, indicating that he's harboring some anger.
We have to be careful not to think we've seen the last of the Galactic Empire. It has a long and deep shadow.
They have been beaten!
Ek sniffs haughtily as he says it.
Coruscant is still occupied.
Coruscant is irrelevant! The Empire there is a shadow. They've no fleet. They've no weapons manufacturers or starship builders. Their bank has been plundered, and those credits are now New Republic credits, which means they are ours to allot. The Senate elected me as head of this committee, so it is our time to do our job and not be held at arm's length by a distracted chancellor. My home, the Spire, is in need of funds direly.
It's the Ithorian senator's turn to scoff. Okopo turns her big bright eyes toward Ek and shakes her bent, stooped head. Through the translation device around her neck, she says,
The Spire is a wealth factory. You're rolling in credits, Ek.
The illusion of wealth, Ek says, erupting. We are trying to demonstrate and project financial strength. But I assure you, we are weakened by the disruption this war has wreaked on the galaxy. And I'll remind you that just as you are, Senator Okopo, I am Senator Ek.
Noor Jebel holds up both of his hands in a placating gesture.
Please, please, we should all endeavor to keep civil.
Stop! That word comes from the mouth of the Chancellor's Togruta advisor, Oxy Cray Corbin. Everyone does as she commands. Oxy stands and puffs out her chest, her chin lifting so she can, even at her diminutive height, seem to be looking down on them. The advisor says,
The Chancellor has made herself clear. This meeting is over. We will see you all on Nakadia.
She waves her hand dismissively, the gesture one makes when sweeping dust off a forgotten shelf. As Ek leaves, he speaks loudly to the Ebed Nido, Senator Bouchard. His words are meant to be heard, and he even looks over his shoulder as he says them.
I wonder if Tolwar Wartol would be so rude.
His words linger like a bad smell as they all filter out the door.
All except for one. Sandeev Sela.
The councilman represents Hosnian Prime. They have a senator, Yuprin Arlo, but Sela serves to help wrangle the different committees and subcommittees. He is new, but his help has been profound. Currently, he stands there, a small, strange smile on his face. Oxy bites the air when she says,
I said the meeting was over.
He offers a self-effacing chuckle.
Oh, I just wanted to ask the Chancellor how she was doing. I know she was in the med center for an extended critical care period, and I thought...
I'm fine,
Mons says, summoning a smile.
My arm is not yet at 100%, but with my therapy exercises, it improves a little every day. They offered me a mechanical limb, but I said I wanted to try to keep mine for a little while longer.
She thinks, but does not say, that she fears what it means to have a prosthesis. Mon knows it is an unfair assessment, but something about having a metal arm would make her feel less than she is now. Inhuman. Unliving. Her mind conjures the implacable mask of the Empire's cruelest enforcer, Darth Vader, and she shudders.
But I'm well. I appreciate you asking. You might be the only one who has.
I know it's hard out there right now, Sela says,
a little hesitant, as if he's sure he might at any moment overstep his bounds. He continues.
I was a cargo pilot, you know, for the Rebellion. I looked up to you as a leader then, and I don't blame you for Liberation Day now.
I wish others shared that sentiment.
They do, and they will. He nods stiffly. I don't have a vote to give you, but Arlo does. And I agree with him. I'd like to offer my help to you in whatever way I can. I'll try to usher the committees along to fruition and say a few good words on your behalf for the election.
Oh,
she chirps sardonically.
Is there an election coming up?
He laughs, though a bit nervously, as if he's not sure if this is a joke or not. As if maybe the attack those months ago did not merely injure her arm and shoulder, but perhaps scrambled her poor brain as well.
I
was making a joke. Something I'm not very good at.
Of course.
He forces an awkward smile.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Chancellor.
And with that, he's gone. Oxy lets out a frustrated breath and pours two mugs of Daichin tea. Floral steam rises. Mon lets it bathe her chin and cheeks and closes her eyes for a moment, relishing the momentary peace.
I could put brandy in it,
Oxy says.
Tempting, sorely tempting, but no,
Mon says with a sigh.
Last thing I need is for Ek to storm back in here and smell that on my breath. He's a pompous bombast. History will make him marginal.
Mon sips the tea.
He's hard in the bag for Senator Wartol. Don't worry about Wartol. In a few months, he too will be marginal. Oh, I rather doubt that. How are his numbers?
Oxy gives her a look. No, not a look, but rather
the look. A look dripping with such incredulity it could fill a cup to overflowing.
You don't really want to play that game right now, do you?
I do.
As your advisor, I strongly advise you to sit and drink your tea. And I also advise you to find a second advisor. Hostess?
Her words trail off, broken by a fracture of grief. The Chancellor knows that her two advisors did not get along very well professionally, often fighting fiercely from two diametrically opposed points of view. But at the end of the day, they were friends. They drank together. They ate together. Their families did the same. Then his life was cut short by an assassin's blaster on that fate-dark day.
Hostis is gone, and we need someone like him. We need his voice. Yes.
A pause.
That will come. For now, numbers. The numbers are 6139. I assume I'm the lower number, unless some grand inversion has happened and no one told me. Correct. You're at 39% Senate approval at present polling. But polling is notoriously unreliable. Senators are notoriously unreliable, too. And yet they form the bedrock of our democratic system. I will do better.
And yet, how can she? She's losing. Day by day, her numbers wane. Perhaps understandably. Liberation Day came, and with it, the attack on Chandrila. When the dust settled and the corpses were counted, she came out of surgery to find many friends and colleagues dead. And soon after began the accusations. She was too soft militarily, and couldn't protect Chandrila when it needed to be defended. Never mind the fact that the type of attack orchestrated against them was so far beyond comprehension and so subversive that 10 navies couldn't have stopped it. All that was made worse by the fact that she invited Grand Admiral Sloane planetside for the day's events, which to many meant she was culpable in what happened. Even still, the true shape of that plot against them is hard to see in full. Was Sloane a part of it, or just a pawn? Was Sloane really once the operator? Did she betray them, or was she herself betrayed? Where did Tashu go? Where did Sloane go? Endless questions, few answers. It hardly matters now. The Empire has fled to some corner of the galaxy, and even with all her resources, Mon hasn't been able to figure out where. And that makes her look weak. Her failures are a fattening meal for a hawk like her opponent in the coming election. Tolwar Wartol. Her opponent. And an Orishan. A tough, strange species, the Orishan. Two parents yield two children, one apiece. And upon giving birth, those parents die to give their progeny life, thus ensuring that the number of Orishan that exist now is a number that does not grow. How they ever came to any number at all remains a mystery, one that none of the Orishan seem ready or able to answer. They were a pacifistic species once, agricultural mostly. Their world, Orish, was lush. Though Mon has never been there, she's walked through virtual holoscapes serving as an archival memory of that world, and found their planet to be a pastoral haven. At least until the Empire came. The Empire enslaved the Orishan. They worked the inhabitants hard for food, strip-mined the surface, drained the soil of nutrients. Then one day, the Orishan fought back. Over years, they'd hoarded bits of pesticide and fertilizer. They made a bomb, and they used it. That bomb destroyed those Imperials on Orish. It also poisoned the world, the ground, the water, even the atmosphere. Now few Orishan are left, thousands at best, no longer living on their world, but above it, in a skeletal framework of tubes and stations. Tolwar Wartol is one of those survivors. She's read his memoir. He was a chemist once, and helped to make the chemical weapon that would destroy their world. In the book, he tells stories of the beauty of his world ruined, how the bodies clogged the streams, how they had to build massive tombs for those of their own they lost. And he also tells the story about the day that the Empire fled. They abandoned Orish and its people because what was once of value to them had been ruined. Wartol described that day as a triumph and proof of what must be done to combat the Empire. Wartol brings that survivor spirit to his politics. He offers the galaxy a well-earned assurance that he, above others, knows what sacrifice is and what must be done to preserve life and freedom. He is charismatic. He is full of anger. His anger is righteous, but is it right? Either way, he commands every HoloNet news cycle, attacking Mon at each turn. As he should, she supposes, if he really wants to win. But she wants to win, too.
I intend to continue on as Chancellor, Mon says. But I'm not yet sure how we win. So, Advisor, advise me. Let's hear it. How do we win the election? How do I convince the Senate to vote for me over him?
Oxy takes a seat on the other side of the desk. She purses her lips, humming as she thinks out loud.
You're ostensibly doing the right things already. You're apportioning resources and infrastructure for worlds afflicted by the Empire, and afflicted by the vacuum of leadership now that the Empire has been pushed back. You've kept the military strong despite the loss of Imperial threat, but you've also made sure that the New Republic military isn't too strong, so it doesn't look like you're trying to enforce your will on a weakened galaxy. Kashyyyk. Kashyyyk.
Mon says that word with the weight of a heavy stone dropped into clear, still waters.
Kashyyyk is complicated. The Senate resisted us getting involved there, and then Leia went and got us involved anyway. Given our friendship, it looks like you approve the clandestine action. And because Leia's efforts there were a success, I cannot disavow.
Oxy thrusts up a finger, as if testing the wind for its direction.
Do not be so quick to disavow. Yes, some within the Senate have not good to say about that. But it did bump your approval rating. No small thing after Liberation Day. Kashyyyk was a win for us. A win earned by defying the will of the Senate. Leadership can mean defiance. Palpatine was defiant. So was Leia. And you're not Palpatine.
Leia. Another complication. It's political, yes. Her friend went against her explicitly. But of course, that is a blade that cuts both ways, isn't it? Mon defied her, too. She couldn't get it done with Kashyyyk. Couldn't convince the Senate. Then again, did she really try? She was hoping to handle the newly formed Senate gently, gingerly, so as not to feel like she was pushing or pulling them. But perhaps leadership required a bit more of Leia's brand of defiance. Leia, a political complication, but also an emotional one. They betrayed each other. A little, at least. It hurts Mon's heart. Oxy says,
we need to find an angle for you. Crime is an angle. The Empire goes away and crime is up in its wake. The syndicates are struggling for dominance. We could go heavy on crime. Become the law and order candidate without leaning too autocratic. Or if we played up the Kashyyyk angle with Leia by your side again.
And then, as if on cue, one of the Chancellor's protocol droids pops its head in through the door, metal face coated in white matte enamel. The droid, RK-77, chimes in a crisp Chandrillan accent.
Chancellor, you have an urgent meeting request.
Of course. Everyone's desires are always urgent, aren't they? From whom?
Princess Leia Organa, of the Alderaan sector.
Her ears must be burning.
Mon asks,
did she say what it was regarding?
No, Chancellor. Only that it was of the utmost importance. She said to tell you it was a code K10.
That was a Rebel Alliance code. Disengage and regroup. Last time they used that code, it was the signal that came out of Hoth when the Empire attacked their base.
Send a reply. Tell her, I'm on my way.